to be light to others. So we're going to start out this morning. If those of you coming in probably saw, you may have seen all the cardboard boxes out here in the parking lot. And so, Mike, I'm just going to let you take it from here. You can explain what we're seeing, what happened last night, and go from there.
Well, hello. Give me grace this morning. I literally didn't go to sleep until 6:30 in the morning. Not by choice. I was in my box ready at 11, and that's early. But for whatever reason, I was up all night. So I spent most of that time praying, believing, hopefully, that the Lord would release me to go back to bed. And, well, that came at 6:30 anyway. So, you know, use your mic filter of no sleep this morning. So what we did is we do something that we call the TOOT coat drive. TOOT stands for Think of Others Today. And it's a good word to hold signs for the people that are driving by because they like to toot. See what I did there? It works. And we had a gentleman come by because of the signs, stuff like that. But anyway, you guys will introduce yourselves, and then you will speak about your experience. Because they slept out in the cardboard boxes with many of them. If people smell like smoke or bonfire, it's because they were trying to stay warm and they haven't showered yet. And sorry about that. So anyway, let's start here.
Okay, so I'm Tasha. Many of you probably know me, many of you probably don't. And so this was my first year. You would call me a newbie. And I'm in seventh grade. And so I wanted to do this because I thought it would be fun, and I wanted to learn from the experience of being homeless, because many people don't get to like have houses or cardboard boxes or sleeping bags that they get to sleep in. And so I am not used to the cold weather, so it was very cold, very, very cold, even though it was probably in the 40s, and it felt like...
Why aren't you used to the cold weather?
I'm getting there. So, as Mike was trying to say, interrupted me, I am from St. Croix, the small island in the Virgin Islands, and so I am used to, like, up in the 90s, somewhere around there. That's nice. Feels good, you know? You guys might see the 60s. That's freezing. So... I'm not used to the cold weather, so I wanted to try this out, and it was freezing, and I got to go to sleep in the middle of the night. I like to I kick around when I sleep. I found the sleeping bag down by my hips, so I like had to pull it up so I can get warm again. I was like freezing. So I just wanted to like try it out and see how many people in the world like don't get to have these stuff, and it was just interesting. Do I have to say any more?
No. Okay. Don't make me look like a fool, too.
Well, I'm Dylan, and even though this is my fourth year in the youth group, this was only my first time doing this. Like, last year, I came, and then I had to leave for some reason. So this is my first year. And it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was probably one of the worst sleeps of my life. Like, my back is killing me. And I feel bad for Caleb, because apparently I was, like, rolling on top of him overnight. And, yeah. But one thing that was pretty cool was, I think it was a guy from Swing Dance. He stopped, like, he saw us all over there by the fire. And so he came over and asked us what we were doing and what it was all about. And, yeah, we just explained to him, and he was pretty inspired by it and thought it was really cool, and so he said he was going to stop back this morning and bring some coats, and yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then it's also just always eye-opening with, like, yeah, we're sleeping out in the cold in boxes, and like we think it's like so bad, but like homeless people, they have it so much worse. I mean, we had all that food, we had tons of food, thanks to the people again who brought all that amazing food, but like they don't have that stuff, and you know, they don't have all that warm like sleeping bags and big like layers of clothes that we had. And I mean, we thought that was like pretty bad, but I mean, it's just way worse for them. And that's just one night for us. And for them, it's just all the time. And so, just can't imagine. So, yeah.
So, at least here so far, we have 133 coats that we were able to gather. So, good job, guys. You guys can go sit.
As I was talking to Mike and Claudia earlier about the coats specifically, I said, you know, I have the same, it's not a problem, it's an issue with my perspective. Like when we do Operation Christmas Child, I just see boxes all over the place. I see big cartons of boxes, and it all just kind of blurs for me. And then until I stop and realize, I'm like, wait a minute, every single one of these shoeboxes is going to reach a child somewhere in the world, and it is going to be a significant blessing. I know for us, we look at it, it's just a shoebox, it's not very big, the stuff in it, I mean, it's a toothbrush. Give me a break. You're going to give me a toothbrush for Christmas? But kids are really blessed by that, and I can feel the same way when I look at these pile of coats. You know, I have coats at home, but just if you take a look specifically just at this part of the coat drive, imagine not having a coat. Have you ever stepped outside in the cold to like talk to someone or do something what you thought you were going to do really quickly, and you end up staying outside a little bit longer than you thought, and you don't have a coat on, and you're like, it's freezing, I got to get back inside. But imagine if you didn't actually have a coat to go back inside to, or if you didn't have an inside to go back inside to. So anyway, I'll just share this yet. Molly and I ate last night up at the Centerville Diner just up the street here, and we know the owners well there. I get up there fairly often through the week, and the one owner we were checking out, and somehow this came up. I think someone else came in the restaurant who knew us and knew what the kids were doing, and I just mentioned kind of in passing to him, yeah, our kids are sleeping in the parking lot tonight, you know, to become aware of homelessness. And he was like, you know, you get the reaction from people sometimes, oh, that's nice. He really was deeply impacted by the fact, he said, you're having your kids sleep outside to learn what it's like to be poor. And he was just totally blown away by that. So thanks, guys, for doing that. You know, Mike asked me earlier in the week, he said, you know, should we bring along clothing to be a little more presentable? And I said, no way. I said, you're not letting the kids do it, so you can't do it. I can, however. I took a shower this morning. So, but I know that was one of Mike's things, you know, no curling irons, no makeup. I mean, you're going to walk into the church the way you crawl out of that tent. At least I think those are the rules, whether they stick to them or not. I won't.
So, some girls cheat, but.
Okay, all right. Know. But anyway, so.
Oh, wait, some guys do too.
All right, let's move on from that subject. What we want to do this morning is we've wanted to take an opportunity to give you kind of an update on our youth ministry and some things that God is doing, some opportunities we have. And I know there are some of you who are still relatively new at Living Hope, so some of what you'll hear this morning will be new to you. Others of you who have been here for some time are probably a bit more familiar with what we're going to say. But we wanted to just, like I say, give you this update, just see what the Lord wants to do with it through various things we're going to share. So let's start here, Mike. Just regarding the Toot event, why do you guys do things like this? I mean, I know like specifically it's homeless awareness, but why do you do events like this?
This year I'm asking myself the same question. Why do I do this? In all jokes aside, the reason why we actually do events like this is to, usually there's two reasons for most of them. Raise awareness is a great thing for ourselves, for us to realize what people are going through, or for us to connect with what's going on outside of these four walls. I believe that's very, very important. And so that's part of it. And most of it has to do with looking more like Jesus in some type of fashion, not just to ourselves inside here, but to other people. So that's usually why the events that we do, if they're a little extreme, or it's like, oh, I don't know, this isn't as safe, it's like, well, let's see what Jesus did. And I'm pretty sure he was much more dangerous even than we are. And he did awesome, miraculous things. So that's really why we do it, is for twofold, for us to get it and for other people to receive it. So
just by a little bit of a background for some of you who've been here a shorter period of time, if we roll the clock back 3.5 years to the middle of 2013, we hired Mike to serve in this youth ministry leadership role. Mike and Claudia are not from this congregation. They are not from this area. This was not home for them. Claudia grew up in South America, in Chile, and that's South America, right? I get my Central and South America mixed up sometimes. In Chile, Mike grew up in the Rochester area in New York, but we became aware of them through various connections, primarily through Elam Bible Institute. And as we were looking to hire someone on staff to lead our youth ministry, as we came across Mike and Claudia, I would say some of the things, the primary things that really made them kind of light up in the search was, first of all, their background is different than ours, which is can always be good. But not only that, they both, to us, clearly had a heart for people that were hurting, people that didn't know God yet. But also, they had an ability to connect with youth, where youth are. And as we talked to them, this heart became more and more clear to us. And we've always said that, you know, we want Living Hope to be a place where people encounter God, where they find Jesus, where the people that are far from God can get closer to him. And we really saw Mike and Claudia playing a part in this, not only in our youth ministry, but just given the heart that God has given both of them for outreach, for the hurting. And so those were some of the key reasons that we said, yeah, let's bring this couple here, fly them into this place they've never been before, and meet them. And so anyway, so we've had now 3.5 years of track record or history with Mike and Claudia, and we really have seen God begin to unfold in increasing ways the things we saw in the beginning. Yeah, it's been a growing experience for them. It's been a learning experience for them, getting to know this particular area, this particular culture. But we've really seen God's anointing on them, and we've really seen these things happening, not only at the youth level, but also just the influence they bring to the congregation as a whole. So we've been blessed by that. So we wanted to bring an update this morning just on some things that God has been doing and some opportunities that come along with that. So Claudia, start by telling us just a little bit. You guys have been here 3.5 years. But it's not the same as when you got here. I mean, God is doing some things, and God is moving some things and changing some. So just from your perspective, give us a little snapshot.
Okay. Hello, everybody. When we got here 3.5 years ago, I would say it was different than it is now. It's very uniform, I would say that word. Like, every person that came to youth group was pretty much a follower of Jesus already. They knew the Lord. They, I don't know, walked the life with him. So right now we have a diversity of kids. Some of them committed to the Lord. Some of them searching. Some of them don't know where they are, really. That we have the opportunity to have a youth group. They have been coming because kids from the community, classmates from some of the kids that come already to youth group, kids from the city. Some of them already knowing the Lord, some of them searching. And I feel that that has been one of the greatest, differences, I guess, like the changes that we've experienced. And it's not just kids that know the Lord and kids that don't know the Lord. There's also cultural differences. We have kids from other cultures, and That's made our youth group a little more diverse. It's also grown in size. I think that we were talking about maybe double its size since when we got here. So that has been something that has changed. I remember when we got here, we had the blessing to have Kieran and Danny mentor us into our youth group now, because like Pastor Ron was saying, we were not from here. So that was very helpful to have them, the previous leaders, come alongside us and kind of tell us a little bit about the youth group, and we got to observe a lot of things they did. So that was pretty cool to be able to do that. Not many people get to do that. Sometimes you hire somebody and the person that was there is just gone. So it was really cool to have that period of 6 months, I would say, with them. It was really helpful for us. We got to hear their hearts, and they kind of show the kids that we were safe, I would say. Because when you have somebody new, it's always kind of like, I don't know, sketchy. So in that sense, it was like really cool that they were like, okay, they are safe people, you know, hang out and stuff. So I don't know, I would say that has been one of the changes, financial differences, cultural differences, also spiritual difference, like I mentioned.
Going along with the sketchiness, I found out even more last night about how sketchy they thought I was. Like, yeah. Anyway, like they were, some of them were scared of me for a year, and somebody admitted that they're still scared of me. And here's the reason I have to say this: they said they believe I can see to their soul. So I was like, thank you, Jesus, for that special ability. Yeah. So anyway, it was pretty funny.
So anyway, God has been like changing and growing the group and increasing the diversity. And it's really been something we've been asking for and praying for, not knowing exactly what that would look like. And we ask for that across the church. I believe it's safe to say that the diversity of Cross Living Hope as a whole has really increased over the past 10 years, whatever the number is you want to say, and I'm so blessed by that. I love that. Now, I would just interject this for a moment. You know, have you ever wanted something or prayed for something or desired something, and then when you got it, it hit you, oh man, there's work attached to this. There's responsibility attached. You know the promotion at work that you wanted? Like, I want this promotion. I'll get a higher salary. I'll have more authority. And then you get the promotion and you realize, oh man, there's a lot more responsibility comes with this promotion. I'm going to have to work a few extra hours. I got to answer to the boss in a way I didn't have to before or whatever. You know, you want to be a parent. Like, I'd love to have a child. I'd love to be a parent. And then the kid comes. You're like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? There's so much work attached to this responsibility. There's so much responsibility. You know, they're little. There's so much work. As they get older, you're worried about them and everything. So anyway, I'll interject this word stewardship. Stewardship we often use in terms of money. Stewardship basically means being a good steward or taking good care of the things that you've been entrusted with. Not necessarily things that are yours to own but yours to care for. And in addition to money, we can look at opportunities in the area of stewardship. Here's a couple verses. I think we actually printed these in your program. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 say this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Paul is highlighting something there that when an opportunity comes along, it's our responsibility to make the most of it. And then another verse we have in there, Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says this, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So in both of these verses, Paul is stressing this thing of making the most of an opportunity. I'm sure we could all remember times in our life where we had an opportunity, we didn't make the most of it, and it passed us by, and now it's no longer there. I came across this quote. Somebody posted this on Facebook, the place of all great wisdom, this week. But I do appreciate this. It was a quote from evangelist Leonard Ravenhill. He said it this way, The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Let me say that again. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Did you know that opportunities have lifetimes? Opportunities have a shelf life normally. Opportunities have a window where an opportunity, it presents itself, and then after a period of time, it is gone. So that's why Paul is saying make the most of the opportunity, because it's not always going to be here. So it's on this theme of opportunities that we're gonna go a little further in talking about some of the opportunities that God is giving us right now in our youth ministry. And hopefully by the time we're done, this will be pulled together so you'll know, well, why are you sharing this with us? So Claudia, talking about this, you've talked about the way the group is changing and some things that are happening. What opportunities are you seeing right now that are before you? Like, again, this window of opportunity, like, okay, these are things we're seeing right now that are possible that weren't possible maybe 3 years ago.
Great opportunities, I would say. Like you were saying, we pray so many times, God, we want to do outreach. God, we want people here. God, we want the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And many times we had to go out to find people. And something amazing is happening to us is that kids are coming to your youth group. Mm-hmm. And to me and to Mike and a lot of people, that's just great, a great opportunity. And it's an opportunity for the kids that follow the Lord to be an example and to reach out to the kids that are coming that don't know the Lord. I think that's one of the greatest opportunities is to be able to not just tell the kids, hey, this is how you do outreach, this is how you love people, but actually, since they are right there, let's love them. Let's show them, you know, let's, I don't know, be their friends and just help them, you know, whatever they need. Sometimes, you know, hi, how are you? That goes a long way with kids that are just coming to a youth group and they don't know anybody. So little things like that have a great impact. So we've had the opportunity to do those things. Also the opportunity to share scripture with those kids. A lot of them didn't grow up in a family that were Jesus followers, so many of them don't know the Bible. Many of them don't know the teachings of Jesus. So it has been a great opportunity for us to share that with them, to say, well, this is what we believe. This is why we come and gather here. This is why we worship. And even like during worship time in a youth group, Mike is constantly saying, why do we do it? Why do we do worship? Why do we read the Bible? As also to teach the kids that are new the things that we do, because those things might be like pretty crazy for people that have never grew up in a church. Like for us, worship and the reading of the scriptures is something very daily. We do it daily or weekly. Some of these kids have never done it, so for them might be kind of like, what are you guys doing? So I think that has been a great opportunity for us to show them this is why we do it. And also that has opened doors for not just the kids that are coming from other schools or the city or the community, but also to be a bridge for their families. So we had opportunities to also not just reach out to them, but their families, and that has been great. And it's just pretty much to just, we have the awesome chance to do it at our youth group. We don't have to go anywhere. They are coming to us, so that has been a great opportunity, and we want to do a full, I mean, use it wisely. Take this opportunity and be good stewards of it, I guess.
And Mike, you can say a little bit in a minute about the potato bar and something different that you're doing with the potato bar. Just within the past several weeks, we had given you an opportunity to participate in blessing families at Thanksgiving. And many of you responded very well with that. You know, you provided food that we could bless families with. Those family connections came through the youth ministry, largely. Not exclusively, but almost entirely through our youth ministry. So that it's that link that Claudia was telling about. So this really does open doors of opportunity, not just for Mike and Claudia and for the youth group, but for us as well as we continue to ask God, okay, what, how can we bless people that you're bringing into our lives through relationships, through various means? Say a little bit about the potato bar and something you've started doing here within the past couple potato bars.
Yeah, well, primarily because we do have connections with some kids that are coming from the community and from, well, for this specifically, it's definitely for the community, the kids that come from the community, and the reason being is because we can walk to their house. And so with the potato bar, what we started doing is I've started buying extra food, and we'll prepare as much as possible. Whatever you guys don't eat, we package up and we bring it to our community and we give them the food. Because to them, potatoes, chili, beans is a great blessing. As if you've tried it, because I cook it, you know it's a great blessing.
Calm down. So, man, calm down.
I'm just saying. Chef Mike down. Here. All right. Anyway, no, the kids help a lot. But
I do most of it.
All right, so continuing on. Guys, don't get mad at me. I'm sorry. But what we're doing now is we're taking everything that we have left over. We package it up, cooked potatoes, non-cooked potatoes, whatever it is. We bring it to our community and we hand them out. What that's been able, that has even branched way past just kid to family. Like, we don't even know as many families as food we're giving out. So we're able to branch out even more to many, many more people around the community just through that. And they're starting to recognize that this is a regular thing. Like, we're not just doing this at once and we're gone forever. Like, we're being consistent. So it's been awesome. I mean, we've had, me and Ron were walking back there one time and, you know, people are just coming up to us like, what are you doing? Why are you walking around? What's going on? And we've noticed you were around here, and we're just curious. So people are coming up to us being like, what's up? You know, what's going on? And we've had great conversations. I mean, it's been really awesome. And these are coming from these small opportunities that we're taking because they're there, so why not take them? And the potato bar is one of them that we're capitalizing on top of because we have extra food, and we have people in the community that would enjoy it. So.
Okay, so as I said a few minutes ago, with opportunities come responsibilities and come challenges and difficulties. That little kid that you've always wanted and now they're in their arms and you're like, why can't I get any sleep? I didn't realize I wouldn't get any sleep once I had a child. So Claudia talked about opportunities and things that you're having opportunities to do. Mike talked a little bit about some of the challenges that go hand in hand with that, some of the things you're experiencing.
Well, first of all, let me say this. One of the hardest challenges is when you actually care. Because if you don't care, there's less challenge. So because we care about such diverse kids that are over here and kids that are way over here, it tears us in between because it's like, well, how do we do this? And when Claudia was saying that we used to do things in such a way because we had an X amount of kids that most of them were Living Hope kids, you know, come to this church. Most of them have already accepted Jesus into their life. You know, so like it was very narrow gap of like, you know, this is kind of how the kids are. Now it's like it went from here to here to like here to here. And when you care, we actually do care. I don't know if you guys know that. We really do care. but when you do that, you're just finding the difficulty in how to love all these kids very well, because you want to. But we're only two people, and that's part of the problem. There's a humongous ratio problem. It's currently serving every week is me, Claudia, Tammy, and Kevin Hirschberger. And we're very thankful that they came on every week to help us. But still, when you're looking at some nights, literally 12 kids to an adult, we've had over 50 people in the room before. So you can imagine what it's like for us, especially with such great diversity, how challenging it can truly be. I kind of hit on this. I have bullet points here to make sure I'm hitting what I want to hit, but it really is, I don't know if you guys have ever tried this, it's really a struggle when you have like such vast differences. It's like you, and they're all in the same room, and you have 2.5 hours, what can you do to love them all the best? It's difficult. I can say that. It's definitely difficult, and we're trying to figure out the best way to do that. But even like teaching-wise, I try to do my best when I'm teaching to get something that everybody can take their own little piece and be like, this is what I need to work on. This is how I need to be more like Jesus. And I think that I can't say I'm perfect at it. I think I'm doing a better job now than I was at trying to make sure it relates to everybody. But still, I'm not saying I'm hitting 100% here, because that's really difficult. And I'm not Jesus. He probably could figure out a way. I'm learning. So that's pretty difficult. Sometimes, like, personally, now we're going to get all personal and emotional here because it's about me. But sometimes I get so frustrated personally because I'm like, I care and I can't do it good enough. And it's like, that's really, really hard for me. I feel like I'm very burnt out sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to do. I feel lost. And I really want to do my best. But I don't know. I just, sometimes when you can't love all the kids as well as you want to, you feel like you're failing. And so that's like a personal thing, like, that I really struggle with. Because I want to do a good job. And sometimes I feel like this is an awesome opportunity. And sometimes we feel alone. And we're doing it alone. So I think that's part of it. But I do, can you guys please give Kevin and Tammy a hand clap for coming with us every week and dealing with everybody? We're very thankful for that. Yes.
And I want to add too, they don't just come only on Wednesdays. They actually come to retreats with us. They stay outside with us. And that is a huge help, because for the longest time, it was just Mike and I. And that was a lot of kids for just the both of us. So adding Tammy and Kevin was a great blessing. We were able to just like spend more time with the kids, and they just come out with these events that I was like, are you really coming to sleep at Thai? You know, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna do it. And they have done everything with us, like everything that we've put out there. They've never been scared. They're always like, yeah, we'll do it with you guys. So it has been a great blessing. So thank you guys. We really appreciate you. I always tell people when they go to youth group, it's like we minister to the kids, and I feel that then at the end, they minister to us. It's like they encourage us. They are like, you guys are doing a good job. Keep going. And that is like huge for us, because sometimes it was just Mike and I, and we went home and we were like, what in the world can we do to make this better? And now we feel like we have partners, but we still need people. We still need like more of that. So
Mike, Claudia just said that one of the things that Kevin and Tammy speak into you is keep going, keep going. So what are the other things that keep you going? I mean, you have the encouragement from them. What are some of the other things?
When you don't grow weary, when you're sowing, and you see what you reap eventually, there's not much better reward than watching a kid who claims to be a Christian get closer and closer and closer and looks more and more like Jesus through the years go on. There's nothing like watching a girl or a boy that don't have their life given over to the Lord, and you watch as they go through this process and they decide, I'm gonna follow Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. To me, that is the most rewarding thing. And I wanna share a story that of something that happened on Wednesday. We are under a lot of pressure, it feels like. And when you're under a lot of pressure, you feel, well, do you ever feel good about it? I'm not sure that we ever feel pressure and we're like, I love this. This is great. Yeah, bring it on. Usually we're like, this stinks. Why is this happening to me? Some of us get into the woe is me mode, right? Because we're like, this is too much. But pressure can build and create beautiful things. One of those things is a diamond. So I want to talk about a diamond that I have found this week to share with you. This Wednesday, it's frustrating on Wednesday nights most times because of the diversity in kids. Well, we usually start with worship, and when we start with worship, we'll throw on worship words on the wall, or we will have actual instruments and we'll play. That's usually the way we go, but this last Wednesday, we were doing YouTube worship with the words, and the music was coming through. We do that on every fifth Wednesday, so last Wednesday was one of those. And there's plenty of kids there that don't care about Jesus, they don't care about God, they don't care about the whole deal. They come for their friends, they come to hang out, whatever. And it can get very distracting in the middle of worship when some of them are laughing, they're hitting each other, they're dancing weird ways, whatever they're doing, and it's really distracting. And so when that was going on, I basically was like, all right, let's like switch this up here. I was like, if you guys want to take this serious, please step forward. If you don't want to take it serious, can you please get in the back so you stop distracting people? We continued on the night, and the Lord led me to Matthew 10, and we went through that a little bit, and I'm not going to get into that part. But as we continued on the night, we got into a lesson, and this whole day the Lord was pushing me and helping me desire the seriousness in following Jesus. Like, Jesus is not a joke. I hope you guys understand that. Jesus is serious about you, and you should be serious about him. And it doesn't matter how old you are. He is serious about you, and you should be serious about him. And so I was portraying the same thing to them on Wednesday night. And by the end of the evening, a girl was, like, walking away crying. And, of course, it's like, hello. A flag is going off here. What's going on? So I go and I try to find her. She, like, walked away. She was walking home. And we call and we yell, and she finally comes back. But when she finally gets back, I'm like, what's going on? We're standing outside in the rain. I have an umbrella. And I'm like, talk to me. What's going on? Like, why are you crying? And she's like, mind you, this is an unsaved person, has not given their life over to Christ. They say to me, I don't understand why people don't take God seriously and why they are mocking him and goofing around in the middle of stuff when we're supposed to be learning about him and stuff like that. She's like, I don't even understand why they come, because she didn't have to say anymore. To me, that was like, okay, so she comes to learn. That's why she's there. Taking this longer conversation that we have, shortening it up a bit, basically I was like, I asked her a few questions, very gospel-oriented questions about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, him dying for our sins. She believes it all. And so I walked her through what we would call, like, the sinner's prayer in the Mike Richard version, which is probably way less religious sounding, I guess. I don't know. But we went through this prayer. She gave her life to the Lord that night. And I'm telling you, it was like, you know how sometimes you're like, yeah, they prayed the prayer, but, like, did they really mean it? You guys ever do that before? Like, yeah, they prayed the prayer, but I'm not sure about that. I'm telling you, this was not a joke. Like, serious devotion and dedication. So when it was there, it was, to me, it was super genuine. And I was like, this is awesome. And that is why we do it. Those are the diamonds that we look for. Under the pressure, under the cooking time, under the time that it takes, the time that we don't enjoy, when we see those diamonds, to me, it's like, that's what it was for. We did all that so we could get here. And that's what we're about. I mean, if there's anything that we can say, it's like, we put in all the hard work, we get stressed out, we get burnout, because that diamond is worth that stress. That diamond is worth that pressure. And I don't know what else to say except for that's exactly how we feel. But getting up to that moment a lot of times is very difficult, because that journey can be long. But when you get there, it's like, you know, it's super rewarding. It's very emotional for me, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity. Yeah.
In a nutshell, I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what Living Hope is here for. Now, this story of pressure led to salvation. Fantastic. It doesn't get any better than that. But there are other opportunities we have across our ministry where people are going through difficult times. Maybe it's a breakthrough in their marriage. Maybe it's a breakthrough in their finances. This is our vision. This is what Christ calls us to. And specifically, this is our vision for Living Hope. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see people meet Jesus, understand his love for them, and see their lives transformed, and then see them sent to be those agents of transformation for other people. I mean, that's our vision. That's what we're about. So, I mean, trust me, Mike and I have spent hours and hours, and elders together with Mike and Claudia spent hours talking about, okay, these are opportunities, yet these are challenges. This seems to be working. This seems to be very difficult. This seems to be connecting. We're not sure this is connecting over here. And, but we're like, this is worth it. The pressure, the struggle, the challenge is worth it, because this is what we're called to. This is what we're called to. We can't back away from something that we're called to just because it has been difficult. So we could stop now and you would be more informed about youth ministry. You would know more intelligently how to pray for Mike and Claudia. Hopefully, you've been encouraged just in, you know, what we feel called to as a congregation. Hopefully, the Lord has spoken to you about this word of opportunity, and maybe you'll even go home and asking, well, God, what are the opportunities you're putting before me, maybe at the workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family? But we're not going to do that yet, because there's a little bit more we want to share, and you probably saw this coming, but if you didn't, you'll catch it here pretty quickly. Mike and Claudia, in these hours of talking about the opportunities and the challenges, they have suggested to us what they felt is something that's really going to help them step into these opportunities and be able to take better advantage of them. So, Mike, you start. I know, Claudia, you might add to this as well, but just talk a little bit about some of the many conversations we've had and kind of where you're at.
This process has been pretty long. It's definitely been very difficult for the past year, and I've prayed about it a lot. I mean, me and Claudia have prayed about it forever. We prayed about it with the elders. We prayed about it with friends. We prayed it with Ron. And I mean, it's just like we've been praying and praying and praying. And one day, as I was praying, I felt like the Lord may have led me in a direction, and that's what I'm going to share with you. Because I literally came to the leaders and the elders and my friends, and I said, I'm lost. You know, I always had a way, always. You know, like I always could figure it out. And this time I'm like, I just don't know. You know, I'm sorry to say, I think I need help. You know, like that's basically what it came to, because we would always do stuff. We would always get it done. But it's like, there's something about this that I was kind of lost at. And so getting into this process, basically we were praying a lot, and I felt like the Lord directed me in a direction in a way that gave me peace, and I was like, I think this could be beneficial. And one way for that to happen is to be able to get 10 volunteers. Why that number? I don't know. That's what I felt like maybe the Lord gave me. I won't cry with 9, and I wouldn't be upset with 12, but 10 volunteers to be there on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday. So to do what? To police the kids, to yell at them, to blow the whistle. No, I believe God gave me this thing that I think is very important in being the body of Christ. I believe the 10 people that would come and help would be the body with the youth. Do you hear me? With the youth, to walk alongside the youth with them, because whether they're 12, whether they're 18, whether they're 60, we're the part of the same body. Amen?
Amen.
So it doesn't matter how old we are. We need to work together. Some of them might be mentor relationships. Some of them might be friendships. Some of them might be enemies. Hey, that's how we work. That's fine. But with the way that this will work is, I believe, with 10 adults there, we will walk alongside the youth to learn together not only how to grow in Christ ourselves, but to reach out to others and love them and bring them to Christ together. I believe that many times we say, okay, we'll teach you with words or maybe with actions, and then you go do it. My idea is, that I believe that the Lord gave me, is that we will do this together. That as a body, we will move together. And it'll be more powerful that way because we are the body together. You guys hearing a word over and over again? Hmm. Together. So, very importantly, the adults won't be above the kids. Now, you will have seniority, you will have the authority, but when you're working with them, it's you're working alongside of each other. The reason why this is important is two reasons for me, as God was downloading this to me, I believe. You notice I keep saying I believe, because I could be wrong. I don't hear God right 10 out of 10 times. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I believe, this is what he told me, is that while we do this, the youth will learn how to reach out to people that they haven't learned yet. And if the adults need to learn that too, that's fine. They will learn how to grow in the relationship with Christ closer together. And as they're doing this, we will see something happen here probably that we haven't seen. Cross-generational outreach, cross-generational discipleship, cross-generational family feel. You know what I mean? Like, I believe that this could happen if we would seize the opportunity that God is giving us. I believe that. There's plenty of kids that did grow up in the church, and they are saved, and they are going to heaven when they die, but they haven't quite learned maybe how to talk to other people, and that's okay. Like, I get that. But if we could learn this together, if you guys don't know, it's okay. We can learn this together. I love doing this. If you want to come ask me a million questions, I'm on fire about this stuff. Like, God loves people, and he wants to save them. Like, that's what he is about, you know? So, like, that gets me fired up. But some people just don't know how to do it. You know, I've had plenty of youth that were like, I really want to do this, but it's like, we don't know how. So me and Claudia can only walk alongside very closely with so many people. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, does the math make sense? And then now we have Kevin and Tammy helping, and still, it was two of us, and then we, like, doubled in size, and we got two more. So we're in the same predicament, you know? But it's just that teaming up thing where we're moving forward together. I believe that's what God showed me. I pray that I'm right. I hope that I am. But I believe there's going to be power in that if we decide to seize that opportunity.
What I was mentioning to Pastor Ron when we talked about this is, like, we don't only want adults to just minister to the kids that don't know the Lord. I mean, that is great, and we want that. But also, we are finding that we are not enough for the kids that know the Lord. You know, and of course, we are not perfect. We all go through things, and we get a lot of kids that are following the Lord that are, like, struggling with things, and we wish we could be with each one of them, you know, and, like, daily or weekly, you know, update and challenge them and just keep them accountable, and we can't, you know, there's so many kids, and that's why we are, like, asking for help, because we want to do a good job. We don't just want to do this halfway. We want to do it good, and I really believe they are the next generation, but more than that, like, they don't need to wait to do something. I think that I was told that a lot when I was growing up. Hey, when you are older enough, when you're old enough, or when you graduate, you can do this. And with Mike or ideas, like, no, today you can do it. Because we don't know if you're going to even be here tomorrow. So why don't you just use what God has given you today? So that's what we would like you guys to help us with, to mentor them, to be like their big brother, friends, and just, like, help them to walk their walk with the Lord. You know, a lot of time it's just a lot of what we have here, but let's just walk it out now. And that's what we need help. And another thing to supply, like, additional to what Mike is saying, we would love if some, awesome, that everybody, but some of you could, not just during Wednesday nights, but throughout the week, reach out to kids, have them come over for lunch once a month or once a week, I don't know, whatever you're able to. And I thought of that because it's not, like, a lot of times when people want to come to our house or want to do something with us, we have this huge picture of, oh my gosh, I need money, I need time, we need to take them this place. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as just, hey, just add another spot at the table and ask somebody to come. You know, you don't need to prepare this amazing meal. It's just like, sometimes kids just need people to hang out. A lot of them, their families are not Christians, so just seeing a family might mean a lot to them. And I don't know, just, I was always thinking of that, maybe go and watch a game that they're having, you know, some of them have sports or music, just go to the school and hang out with them. I feel that does a lot. I was reading an article about youth ministry, and they say that there should be 5 kids for 1 adult, but this article was saying there should be 5 adults for 1 kid. And that was, like, really crazy, because people are immediately, oh my gosh, how are you going to have all those people in the room, because your room is already getting smaller. But I don't think it's 5 people at the room with them, but 5 people walking a life with them, you know, like going to the games, going to visit them, hey, giving them a call, texting. So I don't know. We would just really appreciate you guys could do some of that stuff, because, like I said, we are 4 of us, and we can't. So we need you guys, and we're just 4 people, and it should be 5 for each kid. So I don't know.
So this is partly why we did this morning. Yeah, you can put a line in the bulletin, you know, Mike and Claudia would like help with the youth group, but that just doesn't cut it. You know, we wanted you to hear their hearts. We wanted you to hear some of the opportunities that God is giving us. So yeah, we're asking God, you know, are there a few more people in Living Hope that would have a heart to commit themselves to a greater involvement in youth ministry? You've heard the opportunities. You've heard kind of what it looks like and some of the things that God has been doing. So we want to try to, as we wrap up, just share a couple very practical things to help you in as you might be asking the Lord or as you might be sensing that now. So Mike, first of all, I'd ask the question, or Claudia as well, what type of person are you looking for? Like, do I have to be an evangelist? Do I have to be able to lead a Bible study in front of 50 people? You know, what if I am like more of a shepherd type person, and I'm like relational, but I'm not, you know, like if you put a microphone in my hand, I'm gonna quit right on the spot, you know? Like, what type of person are you looking for that would be of use, that would be a benefit?
I was gonna make a joke, but I'm not gonna. So let's just get to the point.
Good
here.
Choice.
Yeah.
After no sleep, jokes are risky.
Yeah, it might be risky. You know, let's get back to the conversation of the body. You need two elbows for your arms to work. You need knees for those to work. If you put an elbow there, it might not work quite as well. It might work, just not quite as well. You need hips. You need arms. You need hands. You need fingers. Fingernails are protection. There's all sorts of different things that come into your body. And so, long story short, what I'm saying is, like, if you are interested and you are a person, you could fit the job. The reason being is, like, we have a few gifts that are already represented there, but we would love to see all of them represented, and multiple of some of them would be fine. It's not like, oh, you already have a shepherd, so you don't need one of those, and you already have an evangelist, so you don't need me. No. I believe that God will bring who he's supposed to bring, and I would pray and hope that there would be a diversity in that, because I believe we'd be able to reach more that way. So,
what about age? You have to be in your 20s to work with youth, right?
Please don't be in your 20s. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, any age is welcome. I think of Althea when I think of somebody that acts like a teenager still. You know, like, she's super fun, you know? You don't even have to be like her either. It's just like, age is not the problem. It's like, do you have a heart for it, and do you want to be there? I mean, that's all that really matters. So, no, there's no age requirement. You do have to be graduated. So, Anthony, please don't come ask me if you can be like a youth leader or something, because you're in seventh grade, you know, that won't work. So that's the only requirement, is you have to graduate.
And then what about...
And not be dead.
Okay, that's right. Helpful. Okay. Don't single more people out in the audience. Okay, that's risky too.
Kevin,
sorry,
please don't. Kevin, please don't.
Go ahead. Very practically, you guys have youth ministry every week, every Wednesday night. We're all busy. We get that. We're all busy. We have stuff. We have commitments. Like, what is, in your mind, sort of like the level you need someone to commit at? Like, if they say, hey, I can come twice a year, or I can come whatever, you know, is it every week you're looking for a weekly commitment? Just talk about that, like the commitment level and what you're looking for there.
I would enjoy the most consistency possible. What we'd be hoping and praying for is that somebody would be able to commit at least every other week. That would be great. The reason is not because filling up the slots or anything like that. It's just like, we want you to have a consistent relationship. I mean, that's really what the goal is. The reason why Claudia and I are able to talk to most of them is because we're consistently there at least on Wednesday, if not more than that, and they talk back to us now because of that. So, like, the first year was a little sketchy because some people didn't like me, but, you know, as I was consistent, they still think I'm scary, but they talk to me now. And so we were able to develop a relationship, and that's the reason why. I mean, if it was just about filling a slot, it'd be totally different, you know. I'd send out one of those, like, sign-up sheets and just fill them in, you know. But our desire is consistency. I think that's our highest priority, is consistency.
And then, Claudia, maybe you already mentioned this. Maybe say a little bit more about, so, yeah, we have Wednesday night ministry. That's once a week. There's a lot of kids having people in the room. And I know you touched on it already, but maybe say someone volunteers and say, you know, or at least I'm considering, I'm interested, maybe get involved outside of Wednesday nights. What are some things that they could be thinking of, that ways that God could use them beyond just Wednesday, what's actually happening in the building Wednesday nights?
Well, I will start with Sundays. We are all here. So to start, doing after the service, come up to somebody and say, hey, what's your name? You know, start getting to know them. And then as you get to know them, be like, hey, would you like to come for lunch or, I don't know, dinner with my family? Or if you have time, even take them to a coffee shop and have coffee, and, like, youth like that. Or things like that. Go to the games and, like I said, it doesn't have to be a crazy, super prepare thing. It can just be something at the moment. A lot of them have jobs, so you have to get scheduling with them. But I don't know, just come up to them first and ask them if they would consider. I'm not saying that they all will say yes right away. I'm not them, so I can't just say, hey, they all would say yes and stuff. But at least I think that they would just be thankful that you took the time to walk up to them and to offer that. I feel that for us even, Mike and I, it has been really encouraging to have a church that actually knows that our families are not here. And every celebration, they always worry, hey, where are you guys going? Do you have a place to go? Or after church, people are like, hey, come to our house. And that means the world to us. So I know how much it would mean to them. We feel that we are not just at a church, but we have family here. We have friends. And that has been because we've been invited to people's houses. And we get to see not just like the people at church and we say hi, but we get to see them at home. And that is a whole new experience. You know, I was telling Pastor Ron, we had the blessing that we get to go to the pastor's house. Some churches, they don't do that. You know, the pastor is up there, and we want to have a ministry where we know each other. Not just like, hey, I know who you are. You are somebody's son or daughter, but I have you in my home, you know, and like that is our heart. Our heart is to be a family. It might be my culture. I am from South America, so whoever we know, we come home and eat with us, and but we would like that to be our heart. And us in general, not just the youth ministry, when people come new that they are really scared, you know, just, hey, how are you doing? We're going out to eat. Would you like to come? It might be scary for them, but I think some people might be like, wow, this church is really welcoming. And I know people have said that we are welcoming. So I don't know. I just like to increase that. Like I say, go to games. Some of you have kids in the youth group, so that is easy. Just when your kids come and invite kids over, take the time to say hi. Some kids are dating somebody in the youth group, so get to know the person they're dating. Don't be just like, hey, like, spend time with them. Those are great opportunities that you get, so don't just waste those opportunities. When somebody goes to your house, use it. Kids might not show it, and adults might not show it, but sometimes we might go through a hard time and we're just laughing and stuff. So if you take a little time to like dig a little bit, you might find like, wow, this kid really needed it. Whatever, you know, maybe the Lord put a word in your heart. Just go up to them and give it to them. I think that those little things are very encouraging.
Yeah, I think like it can look like multiple things outside of Wednesday. As Claudia was saying, the 5-to-1. I read that article. I thought it was pretty interesting. That takes shapes all week long. I mean, an older brother type, a family get together, maybe a mentor, maybe a friend. I mean, it just takes so many different shapes. It's just like, what are you called to do? And sometimes you have to get walking to figure that out, you know? Sometimes you don't know if you're going to be accepted or not. Sometimes you don't know if it's going to work or not. Paul, on many of his trips, he just started going, and he learned, no, can't go here. And he learned, okay, go here. And sometimes he got dreams, sometimes he got visions, sometimes people told him what to do, sometimes, you know. But the most important thing that Paul has taught me is he got moving. So if you kind of feel like you might want to get moving, then, well, get moving, and you'll figure the rest out after you keep stepping. That's how God has been teaching me a lot of things, is just get walking.
So we will wrap it up now. This is not.
I hope that wasn't too boring. I'm sorry.
You were. It was very boring. This is not an arm-twisting thing. We're not going to hand out sign-up sheets at the end of the service. We're not going to do anything like that. And we were even talking before this morning. We said, you know, we really don't know exactly what God wants to do with this morning and with this presentation. If nothing else, you know how to pray for Mike and Claudia. And if nothing else, you have hopefully a little bit of encouragement and enthusiasm for some of the things God is doing through youth ministry. But we're asking, you know, God, are there those people that we're not asking you to lead the ministry. Mike and Claudia have that covered. You know, they put the hard work in, they do the planning and all that stuff. But what we're asking is for people to kind of come alongside. You know, I just had that image popped into my head of, you know, when Moses was looking out over the battlefield that Joshua was leading the battle, and when his arms were up in the air, they were winning. But when he got tired, then the battle started going the other way. So Aaron and Hur came alongside of Moses, and they had this really difficult job. They had to train for years to do it, right? All they had to do was hold his hands up. That's all. They just had to hold his hands up, because as long as his hands were in the air. So that's just a natural picture. But yeah, that just came to me now. But I think that's kind of one of the things we're asking for, is maybe God is calling a few of you to help hold Mike and Claudia's hands up. And that can look in different forms as well. So we're going to wrap up. What we're going to do is, I'll pray here in just a minute, and you'll be dismissed. But I'm going to linger over there somewhere, and if you need prayer for anything, we always want to make that available. If you're going through something, some way we can pray for you. But I've asked Mike and Claudia to stay right here in the front, so this is your first opportunity to talk to them. If something is stirring in you, maybe a question, you have a little bit of interest, you're not sure, they're going to be right here. Come on up and talk to them. Send them an email or a text through the week. They will be here next Sunday yet. They are leaving then a week from this Wednesday to go to South America to spend some time over the holiday with Mike and Claudia's, or with Claudia's family specifically. They try to do this every 2 years or so, just for this poor girl to get back to see mom and dad, to see her family. So, but you have about a week and a half before that happens. Obviously, you can talk to them after they come back, but it'd be nice if you would maybe just get in touch with them. So, good to go. So I'm going to pray. And yes, go ahead.
I just want to say one last thing. Like, the youth here, like, they deserve love. And as much love as we want to give them, it's hard to pour out all of that. And we do. We love you guys very much. We really do. But we want you guys to be able to team up and love them with us, because I'm telling you, love is so powerful. But coming from only two people, it can only be so powerful. And I know God can do whatever he wants, but maybe God wants you to love them as well. And that's what we would really enjoy. The bottom line is we want to love them the best we can.
Let's pray. Father, our desire to love has to be rooted in our awareness of the amazing love that you have for us. Jesus, you said to us clearly, you said, freely you have received, freely give. Brian opened the service by saying that you initiated this relationship. You pursued us. You loved us. Yes, we make decisions to come to you, but you made that first decision. Paul wrote to the Romans that God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God, we are so blessed and should be filled with gratitude for the love you've demonstrated for us. And I pray that everyone in this room would be looking and wanting ways to pass that love on to others. Now, there may be some in the room, God, that you're prompting them about this opportunity for youth ministry. God, I pray that you would just continue to prompt them and just cause them to step forward in that, if that's what you're leading them in. And for the rest of us, whatever you might be prompting us to do, to demonstrate and to share your love, lead us in that as well. Holy Spirit, we pray. I pray your blessing on this congregation, for each one, all the things that we have ahead of us this week, those things that are coming up, things we're excited about, things we're concerned about, God. We want to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit and the leadership of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank